And so, my sisters and brothers, I know you're tired and you don't want a big old long homily from me tonight. But I want you to take a minute, because this is Catechetical Sunday. This is the day we honor all of the teachers across this great nation of whatever stripe. And I'd just like you to sit for a moment with the person next to you and just ask the question, who is the one teacher that you remember most in your life? Could have been someone in kindergarten. Could have been in the eighth grade. Could have been some big professor. It could be someone. Who was that person? Take a moment and just share it. Good for you. Sister Mary, good for you. Mine was Gretchen. Good for you. So, folks, you're on fire tonight. Good for you. So when we examine our favorite teacher, the question probably that we ask ourselves is not so much what the person taught as much as the impact of that person on our lives. So my favorite teacher was Sister Saint Anne. Actually, she changed her name to Ellen Brown later in her life. Well, I mean, you know, Saint Anne, that's something to live up to, you know? So Sister taught me in the fifth and the eighth grade. And when I was in the eighth grade, I was pretty much of a dork when I was in elementary school and wasn't a great athlete and certainly was not a great student. And she saw something in me I didn't see in myself. She plucked me out of class one day and she said, Lloyd Torgerson, I want you to compete in the Irish Fesh. Now, I'm a Norwegian. You know, we plundered that country. So I said, Sister, I've never spoken publicly in my life. She said, I'll write the talk. I'll help you write the talk. So we got together in St. Brendan the Navigator. That was the great thing. So we went over to Mount Carmel High School. I think it was on Florence someplace, right in the armpit of the city, right in this. And it's closed now because it was a great school, great high school run by the Carmelites. And so we gathered all of our folks together from all the different elementary schools. And I got up, St. Brendan the Navigator, and I gave my little talk, you know. But, you know, there was hundreds of kids. So we get down, and there's this big trophy on the dais, you know. And I'm looking at this big old thing. You know? And they said, and now the winner of the Irish Fests of the year, I don't know, 1950-something, whatever it was, is Lloyd Torgerson from St. Alphonsus in East Los Angeles. Well, I almost passed out. And as you know, from that day since, I have never stopped talking. It is amazing to me that this woman saw something that I had no idea, not even a thought. But somehow she implanted in me a desire to want to get up and to share whatever message. And I've never forgotten that about this woman. Great woman. And I had a chance to thank her, by the way. Not a bad idea before those people go to God to thank them. So today, the great message, I think, is to look at those three scriptures. The first reading from Exodus describing Yahweh. What does Yahweh say to us? He says, I have the ability to change my mind. Now, for so many of us, you know, we get stuck. We are certain about whatever we're certain about. And that's so foolish. Not that there aren't certitudes, there are. But the lifelong journey for all of us, teachers and students, is to continue to learn, to continue to retool in those areas of our life that we have been charged and given. There's all kinds of new things happening around us all the time. I often go to these pastor meetings because I want to learn to be a better pastor. I'm 74, and I'm trying to be a better pastor. And I meet these young pastors that are 36. They've got it all. That's not true, but I mean some of them. You know, with such certitude. And I say, how do you get that? Yahweh was ready to wipe the face off the earth of these Israelites because of their infidelity. And Moses stood up to Yahweh. And he said, please do not do that. They are your chosen people. You must walk with them and honor them. And you have promised them. He changed his mind. He listened. Now, that's probably put in human terms, but there it is. Do we do that? As teachers, do we continue to learn? Do we study? Do we continue to seek that truth in our lives? Whatever we are. The second reading is Paul today. Paul to Timothy says this. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what Paul said? This guy was the greatest teacher of the earliest church. Paul was it. Sent out to preach to the Gentiles. Made this massive conversion of half the world to Jesus Christ. That's an exaggeration, but he did a lot in that great world. What did he say? He said, you have chosen me, Lord, to be a minister of the gospel. But then he goes on to say how grateful he is because he is the greatest of sinners. He says that Jesus came to forgive all sin, all our struggles, all our addictions. Paul was unafraid to expose who he was. He wasn't some professor who came in with the sum of everything and did a little song and dance so that everyone thought he was the greatest or she was the greatest guru in the world. He was willing to share his vulnerability. He said, I am the greatest of sinners. Paul, and then describes his infidelity, describes his haughtiness, his arrogance, he uses the word, arrogance. Willing to share that? Are we willing to do that? What are we afraid of? Why don't we share with people? They know it anyway. We pretend like we're something special. People know what we are. What are we hiding? Why aren't we willing to be having that kind of transparency in our lives so that people will join us then in the journey and not be afraid of us? And finally, that gospel. I was listening to our beloved Holy Father. In 6 months, I tell you folks, he's taken my heart. I'm listening every day to something he has to say. He's an amazing man. He said today, you read that gospel? He said, folks, he's talking to priests initially. He said, you're sitting in these offices and people come to you and you share the mercy of God. Get out of those offices, he said. Go into the streets. Go where people are. Connect especially with people who have no understanding of what treasure we have to give. My brothers and sisters, that's what we must do. That we can sit together and cuddle each other and hold on and believe that this Christ is the Christ of that prodigal son and of the shepherd who lost his sheep and of the woman who lost the coin. What good is it if we don't share it? If it doesn't become part of our language and our day and our week, so that others who are struggling in darkness, needing that good word, that one good word that we've received. So here's the story. Got time for one little quick story. Rachel was a teacher. She had a new job teaching children severe learning and emotional difficulties in an inner city. Tough job. Exhausting job. Drained her every day. Her prayer was that she could just break through to someone of her students. Her most difficult challenge was a guy named Kyle. He was 10 years of age, came from a drug-addicted mother. He had permanent scars on the side of his left arm from a beating with an extension cord when he was 3. And Kyle was angry. Outbursts. He'd run away. So Rachel and another teacher planned a field trip. They decided that every kid could go, but Kyle couldn't go because they never knew what he'd do. He'd run out, you know, and he'd be gone. Well, Kyle heard about the trip and knew that he wasn't going to go, and he got furious. He screamed and he yelled and he bolted from the school early in the morning. Rachel ran after him. She had no idea what she was going to say. And if she caught him, she didn't know what she was going to do. She just went for him. And it was early morning and there was traffic and this kid was dodging cars and he was a pretty good athlete. And she was going right after him. After several blocks, Rachel managed to stay with him. Stopped near a trash compactor near a strip mall. Bent with exhaustion, he looked up. And he was shocked because Rachel had followed him. When he saw Rachel, didn't run anymore. He just stayed still. He calmed down. His anger subsided. Rachel and Kyle locked their eyes together. Rachel willed with every ounce of her compassion and understanding. Anything she had in her heart, she locked into his eyes and sent it to him. Before she could say a word, the principal had called the police. The police came, picked him up, and took Kyle for some psychiatric evaluation. Rachel went back and she was brokenhearted. She felt she had failed. But a teacher said to her, Rachel, another teacher, said, Rachel, you have no idea. No one ever ran after Kyle from this school ever before. No one. They just let him run. But you did. Eventually, Kyle came back. And as you can imagine, no good turn is left unpunished. He asked for her as his teacher. And as the weeks passed, Kyle was glued to Rachel's side, complying with her instructions, attempting to do his work, even smiling. For a child with deep attachment issues, it was amazing to see Kyle finally developing a bond with someone. Folks, that father in that gospel ran to meet his son. He didn't just peer out waiting for him to return. He ran, the scriptures say, to meet him. So did Rachel. Have you or I ever run? I'm ashamed to say at times I don't. When someone comes into my office and I get, that's my job, and I have some moment of reconciliation, I feel terrific and I have that joy. But I'm sitting in my office. I should be out in the streets. Not waiting for someone to come in. Running after them. So teachers, you great people who are saving this world, keep running.